morning we are here on the Sabbath, as I said, to worship the Lord. It is Sunday, right? That ought to be our main focus. But we're also here to honor mothers. Now, I don't always like to get caught up in the holidays and really emphasize them on Sunday, but, you know, in reality, we're commanded to do both. We're commanded to worship the Lord, and we're commanded to honor our mothers. Those are both very biblical things, so we're hopefully going to do those. And not only are we commanded to do them, I think it's the right and sensible thing to do, to worship the Lord and honor our mothers today. Now, as I said during the prayer, many tuned in today wish that they had their mother still living with them. They would love for just one more conversation, one more bit of advice from them. Then there are probably a few teenagers that are tuned in this morning who are thinking their mom doesn't do much for them other than just annoy them, right? For some, that's what mom is right now. In their teenage years, mom is nothing more than an annoying figure in my life. But that's okay, mom, because at some point, they will appreciate all that you do. Once those teenage years are a thing of the past, it will come full circle. And then there may be mothers tuned in this morning after seeing what all mothers do, or mothers, soon-to-be mothers, I should say, after seeing what mothers do going through the service today, might be rethinking, maybe I don't want to be a mother. If what he said is true of mothers, I'm not sure that that's really what I want. But fear not also, because most mothers would tell you that it's worth it anyway, right? So today, as we honor mothers, I think it's important to do two things. I think it's important that we look at Scripture and the things that Scripture says. We'll call that some of the serious things. But maybe it's okay to be a little lighthearted, because let's face it, as a mother, there's those very serious moments in life, right? And then as a mother, there's also those other moments in life where all you can do is laugh. Either because it's funny, or if you don't, you may just cry instead, right? So let's agree to touch on a little bit of both this morning. Is that okay? All right. So a six-year-old boy separated from his mother in a supermarket frantically began to call out, "Martha, Martha, Martha." That was his mother's name, of course, and she heard him and came running quickly. And when she found him, she said, "But honey, you shouldn't call me Martha. I'm mother to you." And the little boy said, "Yes, I know," he answered, "but this store is full of mothers." You know, we laugh, but I think in his mind, it was very, very true that there is a world full of mothers. But there was only one for him, right? And that was Martha. He didn't want any other mom. He could have called mother, but he didn't want any one of those mothers. He wanted Martha. He wanted his mom. She was the one who cared for him. She was the one that was special to him. There was no one like his mother to him, right? And no one could take the place of his mother. No one in that supermarket that could go by mom could take the place of Martha in his life. You know, I suppose there are a few unfortunate cases where that's not necessarily true for some, as I said. And if that's the case for you, then I apologize that that's the experience you have with your mother. Mothers have certainly taught us a lot of things, haven't they? Moms teach us to appreciate a job well done when they say, "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house," right? Or moms teach us about religion when they say, "You better pray that that comes out of the carpet." Moms teach us about time travel when they say to us, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to kick you into the middle of next week." They teach us a lot of things, don't they? Mothers teach us about irony when they say, "Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about." They teach us about the weather when they say, "This room looks like a tornado just went through it." Mothers teach us about the circle of life when they say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. All these things that mothers teach us and they probably don't even realize. They teach us about behavior modifications when they say, stop acting like your father. Not that we ever would do that, right? Or how about this? They teach us about anticipation. Mothers teach us about anticipation. After all, they say, you just wait until we get home. Just wait until we get home. Or your father finds out, wait, did right? So anyway, they teach us a lot. They teach us how to become an adult when they say, if you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. The list goes on and on of things that we learn from our mothers, and they use very interesting and tactful means and words to get their points across sometimes, don't they? Some are funny, some are serious, and some might just scare us. But either way, it's all done out of love. We understand that because mothers want the very best for their kids. Look, we can't possibly say enough good things about mothers in our half an hour time together. We can't do that. But we're going to give it a try, right? We'll give it a try. I want to share briefly three things regarding mothers today. And of course, these are things that we find in Scripture. I wouldn't share it any other way, right? We still have an obligation to teach the Word. And so these three things come out of Scripture. And they come specifically out of Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm sure most of you are aware of Proverbs 31 and what it says. And these things come straight out of there. Verses 10 through 28 specifically is where we're going to fall in between. I don't think I'm going to read all of those, but we'll reference some of the verses as we go. Maybe this afternoon, Mom, you ought to take a moment to read Proverbs 31. And it would be an encouragement to you, and I think it would be a blessing. Even if you've read it again today, specifically starting in verse 10. So anyway, there are three things: a mother's hand that works, a mother's mouth that speaks, and a mother's heart that loves. Those are the three things that I want to look at this morning. And again, we're going to go through them kind of fast and keep them kind of lighthearted, I guess. But so a boy got his first job. Okay, and he was boasting about it. I got my first job, and he was boasting about how hard he works. And so the people that he was boasting about, or he says, look, I get up at 5 a.m. I get up at 5 a.m. and have my breakfast before work. And the person he's talking to says, well, you make your own breakfast? He says, well, no, Mom gets up and makes breakfast for me and for Dad. Well, what about your dinner? Oh, the boy said, oh, no, Mother fixes that, too. Does your mother have afternoon to herself while you're at work? The boy replied, yes, Mama has time to herself in the afternoon while I work. She has time to clean the house, and she has time to get dinner ready. She has all kinds of time to herself. What about your mother? What else does she do? Well, the boy replied, Mama washes clothes and irons the rest for that evening. And so the person said, well, do you get paid? And the boy says, well, of course Dad and I get paid because we're working. And then the person said, what about your mother? Does she get paid too? And the boy replied, Mother don't get paid. Mother don't get paid. She not working. Interesting perspective that we sometimes have of our mothers, right? Maybe a more interesting perspective of somehow we take advantage of our mothers. I think they probably do far more than we will ever know or understand or even ever see, because they do it with humility and they don't do it to make a big spectacle about what they are doing. If anyone here believes that mothers don't work, you might just want to keep silent about that. Might not want to share that out loud. In Proverbs 31, we see that mothers do all kinds of work. In Proverbs 31, 13, 19, and 22, it says, she selects the wool and works with her eager hands. Works with her eager hands. In verse 14, it says, She is like the merchant ships bringing food from afar. In other words, the mother shops, right? In verse 15, it says she gets up while still in the dark. She provides food for her family. In verse 16, it says she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. A mother works and a mother provides. Our text also says that mothers get up while it's still dark to prepare the food, said in 15. And then in verse 18, it says this, she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Her lamp does not go out at night. She gets up while it's still dark to prepare the food and her lamp doesn't go out. What's the old saying? A man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. A mother's work is never done. I mean, let's face it, man. What do we do when we come home from work? sit down on the lazy boy, prop up our feet, and watch our wives and mothers do the work, right? So mother works. The second thing that I see in this chapter is that her mouth speaks. Her mouth speaks. Proverbs 31:26 says this, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Anybody ever appreciate the wise words of their mother? Or how about the faithful instruction provided by mom? I mean, let's face it, we'd never quit calling mom until she's no longer available to be called, right? I still call my mom. Hey, mom, this is going on. You know, what should I do? Right? That's what we do. Even until they are no longer available to seek that wisdom in godly instruction, we still call them. When preacher John Wesley was a student at Oxford University, he was shocked by the amount of drinking done by the students. Wonder what he would think nowadays. Thinks the drinking done by students was major then. I can't imagine what he would think nowadays. Anyway, after writing this to his mother, Susanna Wesley, for her counsel, he received the following words. My dear son, she wrote, remember that anything which increases the authority of the body over the mind is an evil thing. Think about that. Isn't that great instruction? Anything that gives authority over the mind is an evil thing. That's great instruction. And I'm sure that Susanna Wesley said a lot of other good words of wisdom to her children, right? A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those that had been Churchill's teachers. Churchill returned the list with one comment. You have omitted to mention that the greatest of my teachers, my mother, of all the great teachers that you will have from preschool until you're a senior in high school and professors in college, perhaps your greatest teacher of wisdom and instruction will be your mother. Praise God for that, right? Preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they all became ministers of the gospel. So he was a minister, and he had four sons that were ministers. And at a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, which Morgan is the greatest preacher? Which one is the greatest preacher? While the son looked at his father, he replied, my mother. They had a whole family of preachers and teachers of the Word of God, and he found that his mother was to be the very best. Mother was the greatest preacher. Many mothers have done a lot of preaching to their children, whether they considered it preaching or not. Words of wisdom, words of instruction, compassion and love are perhaps some of the greatest sermons you'll ever hear. Greater than any sermon I can deliver. Your mother's probably given a better one. I don't remember a whole lot of what my mom said to me when I was younger, and I think probably a lot of kids would say the same. We don't remember specifically all of the things they said to us. We certainly remember that they meant something to us and what mothers mean to us, but they don't necessarily, we don't, you know, it's sad to say. I mean, when you're younger, you just don't remember a lot of things, right? And, but I'm sure that my mom said plenty to me because I remember some of the things I did and some of the things I said. And I remember the, some of the things I said and did, so I'm sure she had plenty to say to me. And probably some of those I'm probably glad that I don't remember. And honestly, I'm probably glad I don't remember all the things that I said and did myself. I have a memory bank full enough that I'm not too proud of. And so there's probably some that I'm glad that I don't remember. I'm sure she had plenty to say about him in the moment, though. And I mean, we like to tease our moms in front of people, don't we? Like, oh, mom, you know I was the best kid growing up. You know I was the best kid you ever had. We also know we also know that by saying that, we are acknowledging that we drove our mother crazy at times. When we say that, right, mom, you know I was the best kid growing up, we might as well be saying, you know, I know, you know that we, I drove you crazy when you were growing up, because that's what we do. Which also means that mom lectured many times about what to do and what not to do. But all the times, those lectures were with good intentions, right? Good intentions, good and faithful instruction done with good intentions. Things that that we remember, or even if we don't remember each one of them, we still take life lessons from each of them. And then the third thing that I see in Proverbs 31 is a mother's heart loves. A mother's heart loves. And perhaps that's the greatest of all. Because I think at the end of the day, if we don't get things right, if we don't do the right things, if we don't say the right things, if we at least love, then that's enough, right? I mean, there are times that we work and we work hard, but there are times that we don't work like we should, and we don't do the things that we should. And we try really hard to say the right things to our kids, right? In the loving things and the compassionate things and in the things that will encourage them and build them up. Those are the things that we hope we say, and those are the things that we want to say, but in the moment, that's not always the things that we always say. The reality is sometimes we say things that have the opposite effect on our kids, unfortunately. We say things that don't build them up. We say things that don't encourage them. And then, of course, we feel, but we're human. So we don't always get the work right. And we don't always get the words right. But if we don't, we can always get the love right. We can always love, right? A mother's heart loves. Proverbs 31, 11 and 12, it says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. All the days of her life. If a husband has full or complete confidence in his wife, then you know what she then you know she is a woman who loves and who loves her husband. An epitaph on his wife's tombstone written by her husband after 6 years of marriage said this: she always made home happy. She always made home happy. And I think that's kind of the definition of love, or one of many definitions of love. She makes the home happy. A grandmother was telling her granddaughter goodnight when the little girl said, Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some very important people downstairs. You're right, Grandma agreed, but how did you know? Just listen, the little granddaughter said. Mommy is laughing at all Daddy's jokes. We must be entertaining some pretty important people because Mommy is laughing at all of Daddy's jokes. And let's be honest, they're not all funny. They're not all funny. But Mommy is making the home a happy place in loving her husband because she's laughing at his jokes. where there is a lot of laughter in your home, you just know that something good is happening in that home. Right? If laughter is in that home, something good is happening in that home. And of course, there needs to be more laughter in the home. I feel like in our homes right now, there's just not a lot of that going on. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety. We're running in 40 different directions at the same time, spinning our wheels and feeling like we're living a life that is not intentional, just trying to make it to the next meeting, just trying to get the next meal on a plate, whether it's a microwave meal or whatever the case may be, and there's just not a lot of happiness and laughter going on in the homes. And I think it's something that is desperately needed. And when there is laughter in the home, there's something right is happening in that home. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. When there is a lot of laughter in the house, someone is putting out some good medicine. According to Scripture, I'm not making this up. So, you see, we laugh about it. We make it funny, but it's true. This is from Scripture. A cheerful heart is good medicine. And when a mother is making an intentional effort to having laughter in the house, she's putting out some good medicine. And it also shows a lot of love. A teacher at school put this question to little James in math class. He said, James, suppose your mother made a cherry pie, and there were 10 of you at the table. Your mother and father and the 8 children, okay? How much of the pie would you get? His answer was, 1/9. No, James, you weren't paying attention. I said there were 10 of you in the home. And James says, I was paying attention, and I do know how to do fractions, he replied. But I know my mother would have said, I don't want any pie. She would have saved it for them. It was 10 of them, but it would have been divided 9 ways. That's how a mother loves, right? Those little things that a mother does that we don't even realize, that's how a mother shows love. The unselfishness of a mother shows a heart of love for her family. And as I started out saying, it could be a work family, you know what I mean? Or it could be not your biological family. The heart of a mother is one of unselfishness. And all of us can remember some unselfish acts that our mothers have done. All of us can remember some unselfish acts of devotion that our moms made to our homes. Now, we could spend all day. We could spend all afternoon. I could just stop and I could ask you to share stories about what your mom means to you, right? We could literally be here all afternoon sharing about our moms and the way that they worked and the things that they said and the way that they loved. We could be in here all afternoon sharing stories about how our mothers are reflected in Proverbs 31 and how their nature is very reflective of what the writer of the book of Proverbs says. Obviously, we're not going to stay here all afternoon and do that. But maybe, just maybe this afternoon, if your mother is still here, you could share some of those stories. Share some of those stories. And I bet you, there'd be no greater Mother's Day gift that you could give for your mother than sharing some of those stories. Of the way that you remember her giving, the way that you remember her speaking, and the way that you remember her loving. You want to give your mother the best Mother's Day gift of all? Share some of those things with her today. Thomas Edison once said, I did not have a mother long, but she cast over me an influence which lasted all of my life. This is a true story. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of a different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. That's what Thomas Edison said of his mother. Basically, one of the greatest inventors, really saying that it would not have been so if it was not for his mother. I love how he puts that. What a loving tribute, right, to a blessed mom. Proverbs 31:28 says this, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Children arise and call her blessed. Today we share some thoughts from God's word about what mothers mean to their families, about the work they do, the things they say, and the love they share. Even shared a few lighthearted thoughts about what mothers do. The truth is, however, we will never fully understand what all mothers do for their families. We never will. And you know why we never will? Because so many of them things were done when nobody was looking. So many of those things were done when we were sleeping, when we were gone. Mothers were busy doing things that we didn't even realize. And we'll never know the full impact of the things that they did. Perhaps when they're gone, then you begin to realize it fully. So some of you have realized it fully because your mothers are no longer here. Some of those who are mothers-to-be might be thinking, if being a mother means all doing this, then maybe I want to rethink it, as I said. Mothers have a lofty task to love children when their children aren't always lovable, to say the right things when you want to say the wrong things, to do the things when you don't even necessarily want to do them, and above all else, to love when you don't necessarily want to love. And let's face it, there are times when our kids just, right? I mean, when we just want to take a deep breath. But the Word of God gives us some good instruction on how we are to serve our kids. And mothers do that better than anyone. And so again, I would encourage you to go home this afternoon and take a moment to read through Proverbs 31. And then I would encourage you to go home and share those stories with your mom. The things that you remember her doing, the things you remember her saying, and the things that you remember in the ways that she loved you, in the ways that she still loves you. Because let's face it, a mother never stops giving, a mother never stops speaking words of instruction, and a mother never stops loving. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the mothers in our life, whether it be biological, adoptive, mother figures. Lord, we thank you for those that are yet to be, but one day will be mothers, Lord, in the enormous task that they will undertake. Lord, we thank you for their selflessness. We thank you for their love. We thank you for their compassion. We thank you for their acts of service, the words that their encouraging words, the way they love. And even so, when nobody's watching, when we don't even know the things they are doing to love us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for the mothers that are here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts, because there are some that are just discouraged this morning, because life is hard and raising kids is hard. Lord, so I pray that you would encourage their hearts this morning. Lord, there are some mothers here that, or maybe not here, but that are tuned in, or mothers who have lost kids. This is a very difficult day for them. Children aren't supposed to die before their parents do. Lord, I pray that you would come alongside them this morning and encourage them and love on them this morning. And Lord, again, I pray for those that who are not yet mothers, Lord. I pray that you would begin to train them, instruct them, encourage them for the task, the overwhelming task that they will partake when they do become mothers. And Lord, of course, we thank you for those mother-like figures in our life who have in some ways played the role of mother when maybe mom was not available to do so. Lord, I pray that you would thank them and show them gratitude on our behalf this morning as well. And Lord, I pray that you would go with us as we leave from this place. Maybe it's either to spend time with our mothers, or at the very least, remember our mothers if they have gone on already. In either way, Lord, we give you thanks for them. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. That was a wonderful message, and truly appreciate that. And I'm grateful that my mom is here, and my mom is here with us in this building. wonderful mother that we're so blessed to have, and all of the women as part of this congregation too, as part of this body, this local body, and those that have passed, you know, in these last couple of years, and how much of an impact that they've made in my life. And I'm certain that they've touched yours as well. So thank you.